Thanks for listening to this podcast from Exchange Church Belfast. We hope that you find this encouraging and uplifting. And if you like what you're listening to, then visit us online at exchangechurchbelfast.com for more information.
Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. We are officially starting off our summer series. We're looking at the book of Proverbs, and the title of this series is going to be called Making Life Work. Proverbs is one of the most practical books in the entire Bible, and there's just not a single subject that it fails to cover. It's a collection of lots of different sayings, and this morning I'm going to be looking at this whole idea of wisdom. And before any of you think that's funny that Jill Boyd is talking about wisdom, I know that gets a chuckle, but I admit I am the girl who has asked the McDonald's how much the 99p burger is. Okay, get that. At the weekend, we were out at a Brian Houston gig, and Aaron kind of got a little confused, and he puts on his harmonica, and he goes, "Oh, yes, I love this bit," when he gets out the accordion. And we're like, "It's definitely not an accordion. That's definitely a harmonica." So we all make these little moments, have this moment in life when we just kind of mess up. We say things silly. We have a young person sitting in here this morning, I'm not going to name and shame, but she actually thinks our spas controls the climate around Northern Ireland because of the button on the side of the passenger seat. So we all make silly decisions, don't we? And we all say things kind of just off the cuff that are silly. But this morning we're going to be looking at the whole idea of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And the whole thing that I've already said is that it's a collection of lots of little sayings, funny little sayings. They're easy to say, but they're really hard to forget. And we all know some well-known kind of sayings, don't we? If I was to say, "Don't cry over," that's right, spilled milk. "Don't judge a book," yeah, these are good by its cover. "Don't count your chickens before they hatch," woohoo. "Many hands make light work," yeah. "People in glass houses shouldn't throw stones," and "The early bird catches the worm." Quite often, the book of Proverbs, okay, is made up of all these little sayings, and quite often it's taught as and used as a work-based rule book for living. Okay, and here's the thing that I want to tell you this morning, that it's not so much a rule book, it's not even a book of promises, it's more loaded with just general instructions as to how life tends to work. For example, there's something in there, you know, if you eat too much honey, it'll make you sick. Now, there's not a rule to say don't eat honey, it's not a law, but yet it's this general advice that if you eat too much of it, do you know what, you're probably going to throw up. Okay, like lots of things in there about sleep, about money, about work, all of that, which we're going to cover in the weeks to come. So Proverbs is this extremely practical book, and it's used to teach us the general way of life. This is just how life tends to go. Let's read from Proverbs 1, verse 2 and 4. If you've got your Bible with you, why don't you open it? It's going to be on the screen as well. So let's read it, and it's going to tell us exactly what Proverbs is all about. So it says this, that the book is used to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. It's a book that's quite often used in teaching young people, like, just the general practicalities of life. Many people who've taught a lot in this book, and I've been reading lots of people who've studied it, they claim to read a chapter every single day, because there's kind of 31 chapters, and if you take one a day, they just basically go on that cycle, where they've built in this habit of training themselves to read it, and also pursuing just general knowledge about life. A lot of the verses in Proverbs I love because it has this tagline attached onto it, like, "My son, you know, my son, will you do this?" or "My son, listen to me." And it's attached on, and it kind of shows that these verses are literally wise words and pieces of advice that's passed on to a younger generation. Again, not a book of rules, but it's general instructions that are motivated by love. It's like a dad going to a child going, "Do you know what? I want you to take what I've learned in life. I want you to use my experience. I want you to take the things that I've done wrong and learn from me, learn from what I've done." It's not law, but a good way to live life. And that's the motive, just general advice on how to make better choices. The opposite of wisdom in the book of Proverbs is this word folly. It's not so much that folly is sin, but it's just basically unwise choices. And the whole idea is that if you continually make unwise choices, then actually you're probably going to find your life looks a bit of a mess. Where if you continue to make wise choices, then the book of Proverbs would suggest that you'd be on a path to a more godly and righteous life, okay? So this morning, I'm going to look at this whole aspect of wisdom based on Proverbs, because it's such a huge theme in the entire book. And the first 9 chapters of Proverbs are dedicated to this central message of pursuing wisdom. Pursuing wisdom. So the majority of Proverbs was penned by Solomon, who lots of us know. He'd written many stuff in the Bible, but he's known throughout history as the wisest and the richest man, and we're going to look at him a little bit later on. But here's the basic idea of his advice, and it's found in Proverbs 4, verse 7 and 8. This is what he's saying. He's saying, the beginning of wisdom is this: get wisdom, and whatever you get insight. Prize her highly, and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. Solomon's big idea was to chase after wisdom, to passionately pursue it, and to really want it. He said it so much in Proverbs 16:16, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. So wisdom is something that is more precious than stuff, okay? Wisdom is the very thing that helps us to unlock and understand more about God. We can have everything else, but if we don't understand what it's for, then actually there's no point in having it. So wisdom is key, and that's what Solomon was teaching us. So let's look at this whole idea. The definition of wisdom is this. It says it's the state of being wise, the ability to discern what is true and right combined with good judgment. Okay, so the ability to discern what is true and right combined with good judgment. Dr. Larry Lay put it like this. He said, wisdom is the God-given ability to perceive the true nature of a matter and to implement the will of God in the matter. So it's a God-given ability, helping us to perceive the true nature of what's going on and to implement the will of God in the matter. There are a few general misconceptions about wisdom, aren't there? We always hear that wisdom comes with age, and while that might be true, as older people have more experience in life, and if they genuinely tend to learn from that experience, then they will be wiser. But that whole concept of the older you are, the wiser you are, is not always true, because being honest, I definitely know some really stupid old people, okay? Just being honest. Here's the thing, the other thing that people think is that smart people are wise. If you in any way think that, I encourage you to go and have a chat with my dad after the service, and he will delight in telling you the exact opposite. My dad happens to work in Queens, and quite often the topic around our dinner table when we're around there is just how stupid some of these smart people actually are. That they know lots, that they're getting degrees, that they're studying and seem to be little brain boxes, but yet when it comes to doing simple things of life, they're absolutely awful at it. They have no common sense, and it's the bane of my dad's life. He cracks up with it. So there's lots of intelligent people that seriously lack common sense. So being wise doesn't necessarily mean that you're smart, okay? So here's the thing. Wisdom is something that can be learned, okay? It's something that we can learn, okay? We learn from people. We learn from our parents, our teachers. We learn from experiences. When we listen and learn from other wise people, then we kind of develop our own wisdom and we grow into it. But there's also a wisdom that comes from God. James talks about 2 kinds of wisdom in James chapter 3, the selfish kind and a kind that comes from heaven. So let's read about that. It's in James chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Godly wisdom is often described as something different to just us using our own kind of heads to figure stuff out, okay? Godly wisdom is often described as something different to just head knowledge, okay? It goes beyond just learning with our heads. It involves something spiritual. True godly wisdom isn't just knowing, but it's having the ability and practically choosing to live out according to what we know, all right? Not out of selfishness or not out of a motive that we want ourselves to get better, but out of a motive in seeking after truth and seeking after God and seeking after kingdom things. It is the ability to live out of the things that we know about God. It's knowing first His ways and that His motive toward us is always love, that His design in life is really what fits best, and trusting in His word that whenever He guides us into something, that we trust Him in that because He does know best. Wisdom not only knows truth, but it follows it into action. That is true wisdom, not just knowing what to do, but actually having the ability to go and do it from God and from heaven. That is what true wisdom is. So how on earth do you get wisdom? How do you learn it? What is that about? Let's read in James chapter 1, verse 5. It says this, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." Okay, getting wisdom, first of all, starts realizing that you don't actually know anything, okay? You don't know everything, and that you do need help, and that there's some things you just need help with, and it's understanding that actually God knows all things, and that He is your source, and that from Him comes all wisdom. James makes it super clear. If you don't have wisdom, then ask God for it. Anyone else ever have moments when you're at the end of all your kind of head resources trying to figure something out? Whenever you have a problem and you're trying in your own effort to fix it and think about it and try to make a really good choice, but you just don't really know. You're at the end of yourself and you can't figure it out. But then you go and you ask God and you pray about it, and then all of a sudden you know the right thing to do. Has that ever happened to anyone? Yep. Me too. So here's the thing. I remember we were going on holiday, Aaron and I, when we were first married, and we couldn't find his passport at all. And I mean, we looked everywhere. Like we tore our house apart, like literally. We were looking in the fridge, like stupid places that we're going, like, why would a passport be in there? But we were just like looking for every single place that we could think of. And I remember, like, Aaron was going insane because obviously we were leaving and it was a bit of a panic. And I just sat down and I prayed. And I had this, like, crazy thought come into my head. And I'm, like, going, seriously, could a passport be in there? And I'm kind of thinking, if I was a passport, where would I go? And it was just kind of crazy. But I had this thought. And I said, listen, Aaron, I've been praying. And I just have this idea. And you're going to go crazy because it is in an awkward place, but I really feel it, that God's saying this is where your passport is, and He's like looking at me like, yeah, whatever, Jill. So I basically found this little gap in the back of our wardrobe, and it basically would mean they would have to dismantle a bit of the wardrobe to get to it. But I was like so convinced that God had said this is where it is, and I thought I was being dead wise listening to God. So Aaron's cracking up, half tearing our wardrobe apart, and lo and behold, ta-da! Like a wee shining light on the passport. There it was, right where I had pictured in my head where it would be. And I kind of love stuff like that. You know, when you just don't know what to do and you're kind of at the end of yourself, but then somehow when you ask God, you suddenly know what to do. And I kind of think, it's a pity I just didn't ask Him first, and then I wouldn't have to have all this craziness going on. But I just love that God, in even simple things in life, loves to show us the right thing to do and loves to show us and point us in the right direction. So we've already said, in Proverbs 4, Solomon told us to pursue wisdom, to chase it because it's the most valuable thing. And I love kind of the story of Solomon whenever he is asking God for wisdom, because I think we can learn something from this. Okay, if we look at that account of when Solomon asked God for wisdom, it's in 1 Kings chapter 3. It says this, "At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give you.' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in faithfulness, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart toward you.'" And there's a wee bit more, so we'll leave that bit out. It says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to govern this, your great people?" It pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this, and God said to him, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself long life or riches or the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern what is right, behold, I now do according to your word. Behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind, so that none like you has ever been seen before you, and none shall rise after you. Solomon asked for this. He asked for an understanding mind. And when you look at the Hebrew word for this whole idea of understanding mind, it's this word called shama. Shama, I know. Okay, so shama, and it literally means this. It means to hear, to listen, and to obey. Okay, so to hear, to listen, and obey. So that whole idea of an understanding mind isn't just knowing. It's hearing it, it's listening and understanding it, and it's obeying. And God gave Solomon the ability to discern and understand with skill the will of God in life. But it started with this idea of hearing, okay? A lot of Proverbs have this little bit before it where it's like, listen to my words, son, listen to my advice. Will you hear what I'm saying? And hearing is such an incredible thing. Do you know what? It's totally possible for us this morning to sit in a room, to listen to what's going on with our ears, okay, where it's just noise going in, but are we really, really hearing what's being said? Okay, are we really hearing? It's more than just noise, but it's listening attentively, trying to understand more, hearing the truth behind the words. Every single person in this room will have listened to the exact same message today, but yet some of us will hear it more than others. Some will take more away because they're really trying to hear from God. They're not just participating and hearing noise, but they're really listening with their hearts to what God has to say. Okay? So there's a difference between simply listening and really hearing. One of the things that we can think about Solomon, okay, is that he was so wise and that he knew it all. And while at it, an extent is true, well, in theory, it's true, but the dude like definitely had 700 wives, 300 concubines, which definitely makes him with I'm a good guy that had 1,000 mother-in-laws. Like, seriously, he really wasn't that smart, was he? So part of Solomon's wisdom wasn't that he knew everything, but one of the things about him was that he surrounded himself with extremely wise and beneficial people. And you can read about this in 1 Kings 4. There's a list of people who Solomon surrounded himself with. He had a priest. He had a scribe. He had someone who would record things for him. He had an army commander. He had officers. And then he had friends. And he was surrounded by wise, skilled, and useful people. And I don't know if you in life are really good with surrounding yourselves with people who maybe know a bit more than you do. Aaron and I, obviously, you know, we're married and all that jazz, but when we first got married, like, there's obviously a major life change there, and we did happen to surround ourselves with people who were further on in their little journey and would encourage us and help us and speak wisdom into some of the decisions that we were making. Aaron and I have this principle that whenever we are making a life-changing decision, should that be about money, should that be about career, should that be about family, whatever decisions that we are making that's really important, we never just go out on our own and just do it. We pray about it, we ask God about it, we get what He's saying to us, and then we always go to someone else and talk to them about it, someone who infinitely knows more than we do. Like when we were making a decision about our money when we first got married and Aaron was leaving his job, that wasn't a decision that we took lightly. It wasn't just a flip the coin, heads or tails. It was like we prayed about it, then we went and spoke to Andrew, and we knew that Andrew's really wise when it comes to dealing with money. And we sat down and we listened and we took counsel. And I think that we can learn a lot from that we do need to surround ourselves with people who are really good at pointing us to the wise things in life, because they're really good at it. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that we're thick because we don't know what to do with our money. That just means actually we're acting in wisdom by going and checking something out with someone who does. That's what the true wisdom is all about. So here's the thing that I've discovered. Okay, that all this stuff to do with wisdom actually starts with the truth. Okay, we really want to be people who develop and grow in wisdom, don't we? That's the first thing, that we really want to hear and learn, that it's not just about sitting listening, but we really want to learn what God has to teach us and even from other people who know more than we do, but it's always in accordance with the Word. So the pursuit of wisdom really kicks off with this truth found in Proverbs 1, verse 7. It says this, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And the fear of the Lord is something that has been used so many times to almost beat people back into shape when they do wrong. Okay, it's like people are always living in fear of this angry God that is to be feared, and that our sin drives him to anger. And then when he's angry, we become more afraid. And then when we're afraid, he's anger, fear, just this endless cycle where we end up completely terrified of God because we're supposed to have a fear of him and we're terrified of him. But yet, on the other hand, we hear that he is good, that he loves us. And quite often that doesn't make sense, that we're to fear God, but yet he loves us. And it's something that sometimes people have got so messed up views of God when this isn't taught properly. But the fear of the Lord, in light of all the other scriptures about his character, is simply knowing the truth about who he is. Okay, it's this reverent attitude and lifestyle towards a powerful and a mighty God. He is to be feared because he's powerful, but we are not to be afraid of him because he loves us. So he is to be feared, but we're not to be afraid of him. I actually think that C.S. Lewis summed this whole idea up beautifully when he created the character of Aslan to be the representation of God in the Chronicles of Narnia. And we see Aslan as this big, strong, powerful lion, and you think lion and you go, what? You know, if a lion came in here right now, like, we would all probably freak, you know, like, because lions are scary creatures. But yet in the movie there is something so incredibly attractive about Aslan. It's like the children who should be running a mile away from a lion are drawn towards him, and they feel warmth of him, and they're genuinely attracted to him. And here's the thing, I love this, and one of the kids, I think it might be Lucy, asks this, she's asking the wee beaver, he goes, "Is he safe?" And his response is this, "Safe? Of course he's not safe, but he is good." And I just think that sums up God beautifully, you know, that yes, he's a God who is to be feared. He's powerful, he's mighty, he can do great things. But yet we mustn't ever be afraid of that, because he is always motivated and moved by love and compassion, because we're his children. And I love that. So think about Aslan the next time you think about the fear of the Lord. So the whole point of that is this, that wisdom and knowledge begins with the fear of the Lord. And what I'm saying is that the fear of the Lord is having a right view and a relationship with God. You know, after reading the book of Proverbs for like the last month or so, just in prepping for this, I've realized this, that if I simply do life with God, if I develop my walk and my relationship with him, then in fact, I automatically find myself making better choices, almost making wise choices, because I'm in a relationship with this God who's speaking to me every day, whose word I'm reading, who I'm having a living relationship with him, and out of that, I'm just making better choices. You know, people can load up on knowledge so easy these days. Like, it is so easy to find information. You know, getting information about anything under the sun is faster and easier today than any other time in the world. And, you know, like, even this week, I don't know how many times I pick up my phone and I Google stuff, you know, just general questions that people have. "Did you hear this was on the news?" "No, I didn't hear that." "Right, I'll Google it." And we just, like, find information so quick. It's, like, right at our fingertips. And yet, even in light of all that, we can get all this info, but yet that's all it is. It's just information, and quite often it doesn't change our lives at all. And it's amazing that even when people know all this stuff, it's still incredible that some people still make stupid choices, that they still lack common sense. And I said it way at the beginning, but wisdom is applied knowledge. And it's only through God's grace that he shows and he guides us how to live it out. How do we take this book called the Bible that is filled with just stuff? How do we make it work, okay? It's whenever we allow God to show us how our lives can look different by letting his truth actually play out in our lives. It's one thing knowing it, but it's another thing having the ability to actually let it play out and use that in our lives. One of the things I love about Jesus is that he operated all the time in heavenly wisdom. He had this amazing, strong relationship with God, his Father, and it was something that he just continually grew in. We read about it in Luke chapter 2, verse 40, and also in verse 52. It says this, "The child grew," that's Jesus, "and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man." Jesus just didn't be born and knew everything. He wasn't just wise, like straight up. He grew into it. His whole life was about growing towards wisdom. And it was initiated by simply this, of understanding who he was in God, of understanding who God was, and then pursuing that relationship. And he did that by reading the Bible, okay? And we can do that too. Growing in wisdom is simply this. It's just understanding who God is, firstly, and then finding out more about him. And we do that by reading the Bible, especially those books that talk about his character. And when we want to know wisdom, we read those books that, like Proverbs, that are just filled with wisdom. It involves us almost observing life and using sanctified common sense. That's how we grow in wisdom, when we don't just like sit in a corner and read and that's it. It's more than that. It's about letting our lives just like, you know, an overflow of that. That's what it's really about. It's important that we understand we're just not increasing our head knowledge, that unless we apply it, then do you know what? It's absolutely useless. True wisdom is aligning ourselves with God's purpose in our lives. True wisdom is letting yourself come right into line with what God has for you. Proverbs is this incredible book that enlightens us further as to how best to make our lives work. It's filled with practical, wise, easy to remember sayings. And you know what? Over the next few weeks, we're going to be covering a lot of topics that are covered in Proverbs. So there's some really life-changing stuff in there about friends, about discipline, about love and compassion, about doing good, about anger. What do you do when you're angry? About our words and our speech and how we conduct ourselves. This is going to be real life stuff that is going to help you in normal everyday life. Let me leave you with this thought this morning as I wrap up this whole idea about wisdom and the pursuit of it. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 42. And he was talking basically about this queen who came up from the south just because she wanted to have a conversation with Solomon. She traveled a huge distance because she wanted to hear some wise words from Solomon. So Jesus is talking about that particular thing. And it says this, the queen of the south, she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. You see, Jesus was talking to people about wise things, and he knew that they would respect who Solomon was. And they were so engrossed in the old way that they totally missed that standing right before them was wisdom himself. It was Jesus, because Jesus is our wisdom. That's what it is. Jesus is our wisdom. And he's saying, do you know what? I get that you are all for this guy Solomon, but you know what? Something greater than Solomon is right here. Okay, something greater than this historic figure who was recognized, you know, for his great wisdom. I'm better than that. I'm more than that. And yet they still fail to see that. Perfect wisdom stood right in front of them, and they totally missed it. Jesus is greater than Solomon. And you know what? I'm all for this series. Okay, I'm not dissing it. I totally dig the book of Proverbs. I think it's a useful book. I love it. But here's the thing. We can learn from all of his sayings when we apply it. But it's what I said earlier on. When we get our lives in line with the life of Jesus, when we recognize that he is our power, that we have the faith and the wisdom of him on the inside of us, okay, only because of him and him alone, we will naturally start to make our lives work better when we apply that truth to our lives. This is not just listening, but this is hearing and obeying. This is what it says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. It says that your hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, to reach all the riches of full assurance of understanding and the knowledge of God's mystery, which is Christ, in whom all treasures and wisdom and knowledge are hidden. So which is Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Okay, in Jesus, we find every single thing that we need. We can chase stuff all day long, but this is kind of like, do you know when we did the healing series, when we called a healer for a reason? And it was this whole idea that we're not just chasing healing, but actually we're chasing the healer. And it's kind of the same with this. See, whenever we pursue Jesus, all this other stuff gets added onto us. We will automatically start to grow in wisdom, because when we're doing life with him, actually we will realize that with him comes all these other benefits. Not that we should just be chasing wisdom. That would be silly, because something greater than wisdom is right here. It's Jesus himself is right here. When you pursue him, when you do life with him, that's when you find wisdom and you experience what it says in Proverbs 3:13, that blessed and happy is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. So be encouraged this morning that this just isn't about learning all these sayings and then trying to apply them. This is about getting right back into relationship with Jesus, understanding that he is our source, that he is our strength, and that he is our wisdom. You have an opportunity this morning. If you're struggling just in life, if you're struggling with some choices, you don't know what to do, do you know what? Go back to what it says in James 1. Ask of God and he will give you what you ask. If you lack wisdom, then ask God for it. And he is faithful to his word. He will show you. Be blessed.